Greetings and welcome to Word Magazine. This is Pastor Jeff Riddle from Christ Reformed Baptist Church in Louisa, Virginia. And in this episode of Word Magazine, I'm going to be doing another text note. And the text I want to be looking at today is from 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. In the Authorized Version, it reads like this: "We love him because he first loved us." And there is a textual variant that exists in this verse that leads the modern critical text to omit the "him" so that it reads, "We love because he first loved us." A couple of weeks ago, I was talking with my daughter, one of my daughters, on the phone. We normally talk on Sunday evenings, and she's helping, assisting, leading with a youth Sunday school class in her church. And she said, "Dad, we're doing this study of 1 John, and we came to 1 John 4:19, and did you know there's a textual variant there?" Because she uses the Authorized Version. Most people in this class use other translations like the ESV. And she said, "Did you know there's a variant here?" And she pointed out, and perhaps I was aware of this variant, perhaps I'd forgotten about it, but she drew it to my attention, and I thought, well, it might be interesting to do a text note on this. So to explore this further, I've created a PowerPoint that I want to share with you, and I'll post this on my blog at jeffriddle.net, a link to this so that you can read the PowerPoint if you'd like to read my notes. So let me pull this up, and we'll start our examination of 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19. So the issue, again, regards whether or not this pronoun should be there. We love him because he first loved us. So in translations that are based on the traditional text, the traditional Greek text or the Textus Receptus, you find this pronoun is there. So I already read the King James Version. We love him because he first loved us. Just to illustrate that this is not, however, merely an English translation issue. So often people want to say, "Oh, you're just the King James Version only." No, all the Protestant translations of the Reformation era were based on the Textus Receptus. So, for example, if you picked up the traditional Protestant translation in Hungarian, the so-called Károly Gaspár translation of 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, it reads in Hungarian, "Mi szeressük út, mert ő előbb szeretett minket." And you'll notice in the King James Version, I underline and put in bold the "him," and in the Hungarian, the "mi szeressük," "we love út," that is the pronoun in Hungarian, "we love him," "mert," because, "ő," "he," "elub," "first," "szeretet," "loved," "minket," "us." And so it's the same thing in the Hungarian. It has any translation in any vernacular language based on the traditional text is going to have the "him," the pronoun in the accusative as the direct object of the verb "we love," a verb "love," and it's a first-person plural. We love him because he first loved us. This is based on, again, the traditional text. And here is Scribner's 1894. This is based on the Beza text that was used by the King James Version translators, the primary text used by them. And it reads, "Hemais agapomen auton, hati autos protos, e gapesen hemas." Hemes, we, agapomen, love, auton. And auton in Greek is here the masculine pronoun. It's in the accusative case. It's singular. And it's "we love him." Now, to contrast this, translations based on the modern critical text, and I'm going to use as examples the Revised Standard Version of 1952 and the English Standard Version, which is a revision of the RSV of 2002. Lots of evangelicals using the ESV. Some of them are unaware that it's actually in the tradition of the English Revised Version of 1881 and the Revised Standard Version of 1952, New Revised Standard Version of 1989, and the ESV is in that train. So if we look at 1 John 4:19, in the RSV, we love because he first loved us. There's no him, no object given for the verb. And in the ESV, we love because he first loved us. The only difference being punctuation, there's no comma in the ESV. So this is based on the modern critical text. This would be what you would find in the Nestle-Aland 28th edition in the Tyndale House Greek New Testament. But let's go back to the mother of them all. This is Westcott and Hort. And you see hemais agapomen hati, and what's missing is the pronoun alton. So that is the variant. That is the variant. And the question we're asking is it justified to omit the alton and alter the Textus Receptus for the reading that is now found in the modern critical text? So let's begin, as we often do with these type of things, by looking at what is called the external evidence. Let's look at the manuscript evidence, the early translations, and see what support among the existing extant manuscripts can be found for each of these readings. So we find, if we look at this, and I'm drawing on the critical apparatus in the Nestle-Aland 28th edition, and also in a brief note that's in the Tyndale House Greek New Testament for this information, the traditional text, the TR, is supported by some early uncials and some later prominent later minuscules. It's in uncials K, L, and Psi. It's in 69, 307, 1175, 1424, 2492. And finally, it is the majority text reading. Most extant Greek manuscripts read as we find it in the TR. And so the so-called Byzantine tradition supports the TR reading, or the TR reading is based on the Byzantine tradition. The modern critical text reading, on the other hand, according to the critical apparatus of the Nestle-Aland 28th edition, is supported by Codex Alexandrinus. And most significantly, it is supported by Codex Vaticanus. Then it's in listed as having been in a handful of minuscules like 1243, 1739, 1852, 1881. Oddly enough, they list its presence in some later Latin Vulgate editions, the Vulgata Stuttgartensia of 2007, the Wordsworth White Vulgate of 1889, and it's also in the Coptic Sahidic. Now, there's a very interesting third option that is listed in the critical apparatus of Nestle-Aland 28th edition, and that is there's a pretty significant stream that includes a direct object, but it's not the pronoun auton. But instead, there are some significant manuscripts that read ton theon. So we love God because he first loved us. And this is the reading that is found in Codex Aleph or Sinaiticus. So this is a place where Sinaiticus and Vaticanus have two different readings. Vaticanus has no object. Sinaiticus has God. It's also in the uncial 048 and in a number of minuscules, including the Queen of the Cursives, 33, 81, 436, 442, 642, 1448, 1611, 1735, 2344. It's also in Old Latin manuscript W. It's in the Clementine Vulgate. So this would be, as opposed to the later Vulgate editions that were listed as supporting the modern critical text, the sort of mainstream Vulgate, and the reading there is nos ergo diligamus deum, and it's the deum there that is the same as in the Greek ton theon, quoniam deus prior dilexit nos. We therefore love God because God first loved us. It's also the reading, this variation is in the Syriac, it's in the Coptic Boharic, it's in Coptic Dialect 5, or at least appears to be. That's what the vid And I'm taking this from the Nestle-Lon 28th edition, their apparatus. So that's the external evidence. And we'll assess the external evidence a little bit later when we come to our concluding analysis. But I think the main thing to point out here is the modern critical text is primarily relying on the fact that this is the reading that is found in Codex Vaticanus. Let's be serious about it. It's because it's in Codex Vaticanus. What about the internal evidence? And to examine the internal evidence, I want to begin, as I often do, by looking at Bruce Metzger's influential textual commentary. Bruce Metzger had a lot of influence in the 20th century among modern text critics, and he was there editing the critical editions, and he wrote the textual commentary in two editions. It's interesting that in the first edition of his textual commentary, he gave the modern critical text reading only a B rating. But then for some reason in the second edition, he upgraded the rating with no explanation to an A rating. In both the first edition and the second edition, there's a simple paragraph entry and it's unchanged. So no explanation is given. Why did it go from a B rating to an A reading? But let me read this little paragraph, and I've posted here in the PowerPoint a few of the highlights from it. It says, the reading that best explains the origin of the others is agapomen, that is, without providing any object, but just having the verb. We love because he first loved us. Not we love him or we love God. We love God. And he continues and says that this is adequately supported by, and he lists the manuscripts, Alexandrinus, Vaticanus, etc. And then he says, feeling the need of an accusative object after the verb, especially when it was wrongly taken to be the hortatory subjunctive, some copyists added ton theon, and others auton. And he lists the manuscripts for those, which I've put the ellipsis there. So what he's saying is that he believes the modern critical text reading is the best reading because it has some early attestation. And he also offers a conjecture. He gives no evidence. This is just a logical conjecture that he's making, that because some would have taken the verb not as an indicative, but they might have understood it wrongly, he thinks, as a hortatory subjunctive, so that it would have read something like, we should love, or we might love, or maybe let us love, that there was a tendency to supply a direct object, either auton, we should love him because he first loved us, or ton theon, we should love God because he first loved us. So he thinks that the modern critical text is the best explanation. He offers this as a conjecture. He gives no evidence. He doesn't cite any church father or anyone in church history who offered this as a suggestion or explanation. This is just coming in the 20th century as his conjecture. I find that his reasoning here is not convincing. If one suggests that the object was added by scribes who thought the verb was subjunctive, then logically speaking, is it not equally likely that some scribes might have removed the object if they thought the verb wasn't indicative, as it is? And so we can just turn this argument around. There's no reason to suggest that any scribe necessarily attempted to remove the pronoun because they misread the sentence. That's simply a conjecture. It could have been omitted early on through simply unintentional error. It could have been omitted because the scribe thought it read better and was attempting to improve the text. And so Metzger's conjecture isn't any better than anybody else's conjecture when it's made without any evidence. So let's move on now to some concluding analysis. I want to offer six observations, if I can, related to this text. First of all, it is clear that the oldest and most widespread external evidence favors the inclusion of an object. So in some minority tradition, it was God. Tom Theon. And that includes one of the earliest uncials, Codex Sinaiticus. In the consensus text, there was agreement in the majority text that it was not Tom Theon, but it was Autan. But at any rate, the oldest witnesses give evidence that there was a direct object there, that it wasn't simply we love with no object, because he first loved us. So the oldest evidence supports there having been an object there. It's only a very small minority that don't have an object. Again, the vast majority has Autan, the pronoun Autan. Secondly, I might observe that this is a place where the twin heavyweights, Codex Sinaiticus and Codex Vaticanus, do not agree. And so often, you know, the argument for the modern critical text is, well, we've made these new discoveries. We've got Sinaiticus and Vaticanus, and they often agree with each other, you know, against the traditional text. But here's a case where they don't agree. And what we find out very often is that Westcott and Hort were guided by a reliance upon Vaticanus in particular, that most often they went with Vaticanus. And so they essentially created their modern critical text based primarily on the weight of the readings found in Codex Vaticanus. Here's a place where Sinaiticus and Vaticanus don't agree. A third observation, there isn't any papyri evidence. There is not papyri evidence to consider here. And I noted that in the notes there, regrets to a certain popular internet apologist who loves to talk about how important the papyri are. But as we pointed out, and I notice he sort of quieted down a little bit on this, the truth is, and most modern scholars would have agree and would observe that the modern critical text has not been actually greatly influenced by the discovery of papyri. First of all, there haven't been a lot of papyri that have been discovered. And in this case, with the Catholic epistles, there's very little papyri evidence. With 1 John, there's very little papyri evidence. And there's no papyri evidence that will help us sort out 1 John 4:19. So just an observation to keep things sane and rational when considering the papyri and not go overboard, as some do, making outlandish claims or exaggerating the importance of the papyri. A fourth observation. As I've noted, Metzger's reasoning as to why the omission of the object is original is far from convincing. It's simply a conjecture. Fifth, if Autan is original, and now I'm going to make the argument that, again, the traditional text reading is the one that I think makes the most sense and explains the alternatives. If Autan is original, then we can easily see both A, how the pronoun could have been omitted by accident or on intent or intentionally, shouldn't be on intentionally, but just intentionally, in an attempt to clarify the sentence as the minority of manuscripts supporting the modern critical text read. And secondly, if Autan is original, we can see how some scribes might have wanted to clarify the pronoun by making it read more explicitly ton theon. And so I can perceive a satisfying explanation as to why the TR reading is original and why it is actually, because it is original, it shows inherently how the other variants might have developed. And I'll correct there and take the or out, that it might have been omitted by accident. Or intentionally. Actually, I'll take the on out and we'll correct that. The sixth observation that, hold on one second. There we go. The sixth observation, the modern critical text reading leaves the sentence open to interpretation. Here's the issue with if we leave the text as it is in the modern critical text. And this is what I think my daughter was pointing to when they were teaching this lesson with the youth. It is an important interpretive issue as to whether that pronoun is there. If the pronoun is not there and we have the reading in the NIV or the ESV or the RSV, we love because he first loved us. There's no object for that verb. And so you're left asking yourself, what is it John wanted to say that Christians love? And you might come up with various answers. We love the gospel because he first loved us. We love our lives. We love eternal life because he first loved us. We love truth because he first loved us. A big Johannine theme is for disciples is loving one another. We might say we love one another because he first loved us. There are nearly endless possibilities. The traditional reading, however, I think makes the most sense theologically because it provides content for the object of God's love. We love him, that is God, because he first loved us. If you look at the second part of the sentence, God's love has an object. God loves the elect. God loves us. God first loved us. And it makes sense for the first part of the sentence also to have an object. The love of the elect of God has an object, which is God himself. We love him because he first loved us. And so I find that just on a theological level to be a more satisfying translation. And I find it to be a more satisfying translation because I think it's based on a more satisfying text. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this little textual note on 1 John 4:19. As opposed to many advocates, cheerleaders for the modern critical text who say, oh, there are no major variants and there are only a couple of long ones, you know, maybe the ending of Mark, maybe the woman taken in adultery. But other than that, there's nothing really to look at and there are no significant theological issues. Well, when you start looking verse by verse, you find that there are variants in nearly every verse. And many of these are of consequence. They are of theological significance. And I think we could put 1 John 4:19 in that category where it's just a pronoun, but it's significant. And I don't see any compelling reason based on the external evidence and the internal evidence as to why the traditional text should be abandoned. And obviously, I think quite the opposite, the traditional text should be affirmed. Well, I hope that this Word Magazine has been helpful for those of you who are listening, and I'll look forward to speaking to you in the next Word Magazine. Till then, take care and God bless.